If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Let's say hello to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing very well, Stephen. How are you this morning?
Doing well, man. Thanks for asking. Matt, we saw each other plenty up in training camp in beautiful St. Joseph, Missouri. And one of the hot topics when we were up at training camp was Jerick McKinnon and how he looked like he was going to be just a perfect fit in this Chiefs offense. And then it didn't totally work out that way. He had his moments, but he also battled injury. But then here we are now at the end of the season, and he has become a real playmaker for this offense. You wrote about that at ChiefsDigest.com. But take me back to what you saw when we were up there at training camp, what led us to believe that Jerick McKinnon could be a nice fit in this offense, and now the role that he has seized for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the elusiveness. You saw that, I mean, even though he's 29 years old, I mean, there's a reason why they call him Jet. I mean, he's always had speed. He's always had this ability to make guys miss. And you saw that even in St. Joe. I mean, good grief, you can go back to the OTAs back in June. I mean, you could see just the potential that you could have an Andy Reid offense to be able to get the running back the ball in space, to use McKinnon and the screen game. I thought he showed, you know, much more, you know, willingness to run between the tackles than you would expect for a guy his size. Going into, you know, even on those padded practices back in St. Joe, I mean, you saw it. He would take a lick and then just bounce right back up again. I mean, there wasn't any question of this guy's toughness or anything. And it just seemed like there was some untapped potential there that the Chiefs could get into. And I don't know why it didn't click early in the season, but now that he's getting some opportunities the last couple of weeks, I mean, you're seeing what a guy like that can do in Andy Reid's offense. And I think it's always been there. I'm just kind of curious about why it's taken so long to get it out of him.
Boy, it would be very difficult to remove him from the lineup. And I don't expect they'll do that, but you have Clyde trying to come back from his injury, and then you have Darrell Williams. I am worried about that because we saw, I mean, even for Patrick Mahomes, talked about how his, I don't know if it's the same injury, but a toe injury could really be a factor for the rest of the season for Darrell Williams, as you heard Andy Reid talking about. He had he couldn't, you know, explode off, you know, and push off the foot, and that could be, you wouldn't anticipate that's going to get much better between now and the end of the season. And so there is a real possibility that the touches are going to be there. But if Clyde were to be cleared for Sunday, and I don't know that that's going to happen, nobody does, but if he was, how do you expect the Chiefs to handle that? Because McKinnon looks so good against the Steelers, you can't take him out of the lineup, can you?
Yeah, it'd be hard to. I mean, if Williams isn't 100% and Clyde does come back, I think it's just natural to go ahead and slide McKinnon into that third down role. Even though you say, okay, he's a little undersized, maybe he's going to be a liability in pass protection. And honestly, he's not. I mean, he's willing to sacrifice his body. I mean, we saw that during blocking drills up in St. Joe. I mean, he's willing to take the hit. So
he's strong.
I have no, well, exactly. I mean, Dave Tobias talked about DeAnthony Thomas being the toughest guy pound for pound on the Chiefs. I think McKinnon might be that guy right now. I have no qualms about putting him out there in pass protection. He's an ideal kind of third down back. I could certainly see that role for him. But also, I mean, there's no reason why you can't continue to rotate him in with Clyde. Keep Clyde fresh. Doesn't need to be out there. I mean, they can limit Clyde to, you know, 50% of the snaps, which I think would be a pretty good mix for him just to keep him fresh. Sprinkle in McKinnon. You're certainly probably going to give Gore a drive or two because he's been successful. I mean, and the Chiefs, I think, honestly, I mean, they're probably the best at this point when they do give a little bit of opportunities to each of those guys because, as Andy Reid likes to say, each one of them brings a different flavor and something different to the offense that defenses have to prepare for.
So let's start talking about this matchup against the Bills. First and foremost, can we take anything away from the game these two teams played earlier in the season, or was that so long ago that it's a brand new story this time around?
I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a brand new story. I mean, both these teams, I think, are different. The Bills are probably closer to who they were then to what they are now. The Chiefs, I think, are different in a lot of different ways. I mean, and certainly injury-wise, they're healthier than they were then. The offense, obviously, the defense, both sides of the football, I think are playing much better than they were back in Week 5. With Andy Reid, I mean, I always do believe that you could probably throw out earlier matches because he's going to learn from his mistakes. He's not going to make the same ones, and it's probably more on the opponent in a situation like this to probably make the bigger adjustments because you know that Andy's going to have some wrinkles. I think that certainly there were things that the Chiefs did in the Steelers game that were completely designed to either throw off Buffalo or set some things up that they want to do. To me, I mean, I think certainly the Chiefs are going to make some adjustments, but I think it's going to be a much bigger role for Sean McDermott and his staff trying to figure out, you know, just what the Chiefs are going to be doing to adjust from that Week 5 game.
You know, it's hard to find any issues with what the Chiefs did on Sunday night, but we were talking with Mark Boberger about this. Why only 17 snaps for Willie Gay? What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it was on the injury report last week with a wrist, but didn't have, I mean, any game day designation. There wasn't certainly any indication that his playing time was in doubt. The only thing that I can really make of it was just maybe if health wasn't the question, maybe it was just a little bit about what the Chiefs wanted to do scheme-wise. You know, they played a lot of nickel coverage throughout the game, so there was three cornerbacks out there most of the time, which meant that you're only going to have two linebackers. Bolton played, you know, a lot more snaps than Gay did. So, and I would probably say that at this point, you know, Bolton's the guy that they want playing downhill a little bit more. But Pittsburgh's going to run the football. So maybe it was just simply an approach of, hey, if Pittsburgh's going to run the football, we want Bolton out there more than Gay, just to match up with the Steelers scheme-wise.
So, I mean, we expect Gay to play more in this game then, right? Like, the scheme-wise, because we're talking about whether or not he's going to spy on Josh Allen. What are your thoughts on how they're going to rotate those linebackers in this game?
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because, I mean, Buffalo is, again, a team that you're probably going to have a lot of defensive backs out there for because they are going to throw the football around. But you mentioned it. I mean, the key to, I think, stopping Buffalo is just making sure that Josh Allen doesn't have time to improvise, whether it's buying time in the pocket or it's scrambling and getting out of the pocket, even some of the design runs that the Bills do. You can't let him get open lanes. I mean, he's done that against the Chiefs, and he's bitten them. And they know that. So, yeah, they're going to figure out, you know, how that mix works best. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, if you're going to use a linebacker to kind of keep an eye on Allen, I mean, Willie Gay seems like the most logical candidate to do that. But then again, I mean, you know, Buffalo can play downhill too. And if that's the case, you know, they like Bolton. What we haven't seen, we saw a little bit on Sunday, was, you know, frankly trying to get both of them out there on the field at the same time. And that's what I would be interested in seeing. I don't know if the Chiefs are committed to doing it in the playoffs against a big opponent yet. But that would mean, you know, no Anthony Hitchens and having Gay and Bolton out there together. There's going to be times I think that probably is their best defensive look.
Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is our guest. Matt, I've heard some NFL pundits suggest that, hey, the Bills are they're the hungrier team. They went to the AFC Championship game and came up short. They've already proven that they could come into Arrowhead and win earlier this season, and that's the team that's hungrier for a championship. And, you know, Andy Reid was asked about the Chiefs and how do they stay hungry, even though they've already won a championship, how do they stay hungry enough to get back to the Super Bowl for the third consecutive year. This was his reply, and I'd like to get your reaction to what Andy Reid says here.
Like chocolate cake, and you eat a piece, and then you have one dangling in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that's that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting, and you need to. You're going to try to go get it if you can. You know, that's the best you can.
Matt, Derek, your thoughts?
I've been craving chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting ever since then.
Right.
I mean, that's my first take, but I completely get it. I mean, and especially coming off that Super Bowl loss last year, I mean, I think that's still been a drive for this team. I don't know if we saw it the entire season, and maybe that was a little bit of the cause for sometimes this team feeling like maybe they were sleepwalking through the season, is that this is what they were playing for. I mean, you know, and I think that, you know, Chiefs pride probably just got to live with the fact going forward that the Chiefs are going to view the regular season as a necessary evil to get through, to get to where they want to play in the postseason. But to me, I mean, the Chiefs right now, I mean, they're Darth Vader. I mean, they're the ones that you have to go through if you want to be a Jedi. And the Bills know that. I mean, they know that that's what the Chiefs are. I mean, Chiefs used to have the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers were their Darth Vaders that they had to get through. Well, they slayed them. And now the teams need to get through that they want to prove that they're the team. So I see there's a lot of motivations on both sides of the football. I mean, the Bills know that the Chiefs are their nemesis. That's the team that they got to beat. But the Chiefs are that junkyard dog. I mean, they're the ones that have been running the block for a while now. And I don't see them, you know, yielding to the newcomer anytime soon.
And look, I get it. I didn't quite identify with Andy Reid about the chocolate cake. I'm not a big chocolate cake guy. If it was cake, if you tell me it's carrot cake with a delicious cream cheese frosting, then yes, I'm reaching for that. I'm wanting it more. I'm very hungry for another piece. I'm more, and you could ask anyone, I'm more of a pie guy. I'm always after more pie. Give me pie. Give me coconut cream pie. Give me banana cream pie. I love pie. And so, yeah, then if you're talking about, hey, are you hungry for more pie? Yes. Yes. I'm insatiable. Let me have more pie.
Insatiable.
But I get it, the chocolate cake. Guys, could you weigh in on that, please? What dessert would you use to describe the scenario that Andy Reid gave? Is it chocolate cake for you, Matt Derrick, or is there something else?
Well, I like my frosting, but my mom has this recipe, and she used to make this for me whenever, you know, especially for birthdays. My favorite was, it was called the chocolate cake.
Oh.
And then it had a chocolate fudge icing.
My God.
And that chocolate fudge, oh my goodness. That to me, when I hear Andy Reid talking about the ultimate chocolate cake, that kind of thing, I picture that in my head.
He did sell the frosting very hard there. I like that.
Yeah, that ultimate frosting. Right. Yeah, I, whatever frosting Andy's got, I need some.
Like, what is that? Are there nuts in it? I mean, what does it make the ultimate frosting? Nate and Jake, please weigh in on this very important topic. What type of dessert would you equate the Super Bowl to that you would be chasing no matter how many pieces you had?
So my wife makes a homemade cherry pie from scratch, and she makes the crust from scratch.
Is it
as
delicious?
Well.
Do you put anything on it? A la mode with cream?
With a scoop of ice cream.
There it is.
A scoop of vanilla ice cream, and that cherry pie is the greatest food on planet Earth for me. And so it's actually literally brought family members of mine to tears because it's so wonderful.
Ooh.
My Aunt Marianne, it made her cry the first time she ate a slice of it. So she grew up. Her mom used to make cherry pie like that, and so it made her think of her mom.
When I was a kid, my aunt cried because she caught me with Hustler magazine. So
different kind of cherry pie there.
That's
not something pie. I should have readily admitted.
Well,
because Playboy was one thing, but then if you had a Hustler, then your kid had some issues. You know what I mean?
That's the way they thought back
where
then.
Where did you get your hands on that?
I'm like, Hustler's tame compared to what kids have access to.
And it was Steve St. John Sr. You think I'm going to throw him under the bus?
No.
No, then my ass is grass and he's the lawnmower. What about you, Jake Gutierrez?
I'd go a nice ice cream cake.
No, I love an ice cream cake.
Is very, very good.
That's my favorite.
Very good.
An ice cream cake.
Flavor?
Yep.
Flavor.
I mean, I go like Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, ice cream cake.
That's decadent.
I love the ones with the crumbled Oreo cookie crust.
That's good, too. That's very good.
Ice cream cake. So Andy Reid, by his analogy, the Chiefs have been forced to eat their vegetables all season. And that was just like getting through the regular season. Something you got to do. in order to enjoy that chocolate cake.
But now, they were just asking, like, you've already had one Super Bowl. You've already, you know, two Super Bowls. You've already had two slices. What makes you more, you know, it's dangling in front of you. You want another one.
Yeah, if you've had one slice of that cake, you just want another slice. You don't want less.
Yeah, this is, by the way, by far, Matt, I'm quite, you're a contributor to many shows. This is the best breakdown of the Chiefs-Bills, isn't it? Don't you think?
Andy Reid knows how to communicate with us. Food-based analogies.
Exactly. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, Andy, when he's talking about food, that's best. I mean, whether it's cheeseburgers, chili rellenos, duck confit.
Oh, my God,
I mean, prime rib. I mean, yeah. Football is food. I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Okay, now you have to put your thinking cap on. You have to take this very seriously because a man's paycheck is riding on what you say. Jake Gutierrez takes our football insiders, our experts' opinions. He puts them all together. He weighs them all together. He puts them in a big bag, shakes it up, and then he decides what he's going to do with his money on the weekend. And so first, let's get your thoughts on Bengals at Titans. What do you see here? Give us a score.
I mean, the Bengals are just so hot right now. I mean, I think they probably get it done. I think they're just too explosive for the Titans to keep up. But I have a hard time betting against Mike Vrabel, man. I mean, it just wouldn't surprise me if he gets the Titans to the AFC Championship game. But if I'm betting Jake's money,
yeah,
I'm putting it on the Bengals.
Right.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
And it's been, I mean, it's been a while. But if you're looking for reasons why you don't want to bet against Mike Vrabel, you know that he said that, you know, we're all adults, right? I can just say, I'll use the medical term. He said that he'd be willing to cut his penis off to win a Super Bowl. And when a coach has that kind of edge, then if it's all up in the air, then you probably lean towards that type of focus. I mean,
I would do a lot of things for chocolate cake, but I'm
right,
not doing
that. Right, but I've been just, why are you looking at me like that?
He said that out loud?
I've got video of it. I've got the...
He did?
Yeah, absolutely. And he already has three Super Bowls as a player. This is what he wants one for. That's what he'd be willing to do.
Nope.
And so you have to. That maybe if you're like up in the air about the Bengals and Titans, isn't that kind of a tiebreaker? Isn't that kind of a tiebreaker? Like, well,
does anybody tell him that he doesn't have to do that?
But they asked him what he'd be willing to do, and he was. That's he's showing you.
I don't believe him.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and I don't want to find out because that means the Chiefs don't go to the Super Bowl.
Call Lorraine Bobbitt.
And you are resisting. So now, Bo Richter. Everyone's picking the Bengals. I think Bill Moss picked the Titans. Yeah. But you don't like what Matt Derrick just said. You don't agree.
I think they can go in there and win. But I, to his point, I think it's Vrabel is the this team. If they keep the Bengals on the sidelines, they turn them over once or twice, right? And they have that plus one or two in the turnover.
That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean that.
Check your DMs, by the way. We can play that clip before it's only 35 seconds.
I don't know. I think the Titans are severely being underlooked here.
Underlooked, underappreciated,
yeah,
overlooked.
The Bengals are hot, and they're playing with house money, but their team's young, and they're going to get punched in the mouth. And what are the
slugged right in the mouth?
They are. And what are the Bengals going to do to react to that? I don't know.
Punched right in the face.
That youth has me worried.
Anybody cutting eyelids off in this one?
No, that was Mike Tomlin who said that you don't blink, and if you are a blinker, then you cut your eyelids off, and that did not work. Matt Derrick now is Jake is chasing. Do you really want to play that clip? Can't play it then. That's what
I can't play it because he doesn't say penis.
Okay, well, if you could try to fix that up.
The D word.
Right.
You can't say that?
I'm not.
You can't. It's like someone's name.
I feel like Ned Yost said it all the time.
Like former president Dick Nixon. That's fine. That's easy to say.
Are you going to cut your deal?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the rules. Richard? I'm not. I don't know the rules. Things are different now.
I'm not going to play it right now.
Why don't
people listening? Yeah. I mean,
there are.
Chad. Well, Chad's down the hall.
Are you sure people are listening?
I know Chad is, and I'm not going to play that.
Man, I'm so confused. Jake's all of a sudden not going to play something because people are listening.
Right.
You want me to play?
No.
I'll play, and I'll say this is on Nate.
Why is it
now,
on me?
Now I definitely want you to play it if you say it's on Nate.
I'm not
Matt, you decide. Do we play the original clip or not, Matt?
I'm not making you do anything.
What do you think?
I mean, as much as I want to hear it, I don't want any FCC fines for Jake.
Oh, so FCC doesn't care anymore.
No, Nate said he you could suspend him for 2 days if we get in trouble for this. He's offered that up.
Well, there you go. Then
would you cut your dick off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got.
I like the fact that he factors in he's been married 20 years. I'm not using it anyway, so sure, go ahead. Matt, what about a breakdown, please? Give us a score, and I want you to mean it, between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills.
You know, I'm so completely counterintuitive on this because I know I should be saying it's going to be 41-38 because both these teams are just going to run up and down the field and everything. There's just something that tells me that this is going to end up being a slugfest, and I don't know. I mean, for some strange reason, I've had 21-17 stuck in my head on this game for the last few days. I can't get it out, so I'm gonna stick with my gut on this one. I'm gonna say Chiefs 21-17.
Jake has a look of absolute disbelief right now.
I'm in disbelief that I'm doing this. So,
is this something?
I respect the hell out of it. I like it. I mean, that's bold.
I mean, you've talked about your dreams before. Is this something that you've had a vision of? Do you have like real data that backs you up? Do you have is it gut feeling? Why are you saying 21-17?
I respect the hell out of that score.
I mean, I feel like the Chiefs are playing defensively better than they were obviously playing back in week 5. So I think they can slow the Bills down. We know the Bills got a good defense. I mean, we know the Chiefs offense. I mean, they can counter them. We're probably looking at probably more like a game where it's fairly close and one of these teams pulls away at the end. So maybe it is something kind of like last year's game between these two teams and it ends up being 38-24 or something. But I think with just as much as on the line and both these teams, the way they've been playing, how many times do we see games like this, and do expect that two offenses are just going to battle it out, and instead it turns out to be the defenses that come through? Something just tells me that it's going to be up to defenses in this one.
Matt, it's been a segment to remember, I think, although some people would like to forget it, they won't. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Anytime you want to talk about chocolate cake and things that Mike Vrabel would cut off, I'm there for you.
That's a unique pairing right there, but I won't say no. Matt, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
I'll be honest with you. Things kind of got away from us there at the end, but that's fine. We'll bounce back with Kevin Ellis after this on WHB.